Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for those songs, Josh. You did pretty good for having a splitting headache today.
Amen.
If the sermon doesn't go very well today, Josh woke up with a headache, and so I'm going to use that excuse. Hopefully, the sermon will be as good as this songs. Before we get started. We need to remember Frank and Armita. They're going to be traveling to Mexico and will be gone the next 2 weeks. Say they're going to be worshiping with us on the Facebook Live, so that's a blessing. And we need to remember Armita's sister-in-law, who is still struggling with COVID. So let's bow, and before we get into our lesson, go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you so thankful for all the blessings that you give us. Please let us never go a day without realizing the wonderful lives that we have because of you. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask right now that we have a special request that you be with Frank and Armita as they're getting ready to travel to Mexico. Our desire is that their trip will be safe. We pray for Armita's sister-in-law as she's fighting COVID. Dear God, we have a number of visitors here with us today. We're thankful that they could be here and worship with us. We ask that for safe travels back to wherever they live. And we hope that they can return to their home congregations with the message that the church is alive and well in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, be with us as we continue our worship to you, as we look into your word. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Frank and Armita are going to be gone the next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, kids, make sure your parents bring you in 2 weeks. Not next week, but make sure they bring you next week too. But in 2 weeks, where's Chase and Calvin? 2 weeks from today, the lesson is geared for you. It's geared for mom and dad too, but make sure they bring you. It's called Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And so, you know that song, and I will not, I promise, I am not going to break into the Old MacDonald Had a Farm song. But kids, make sure mom and dad's bring you 2 weeks from now. Let me get this turned on, ready to go. Happy Independence Day.
Amen.
Today's the 4th of July. We live in absolutely the greatest country that's ever been known to man. There was a period of time where we felt under severe tyranny under England. Seemed like everything we did, they were clamping down on us. And even before we declared independence, you had people, Americans like Patrick Henry, as he addressed the Virginia House of Burgesses, he uttered those famous words, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death."
Amen.
1 month in 1775, a small group of men, a handful of Massachusetts militia, stood up to the British Army. They weren't doing it for the sake that they thought that they were going to win. They were severely outnumbered. But they stood against tyranny, against oppression, against unjust ways. Fighting had started, and the next year, a group of 56 Americans met in Philadelphia. They pledged their lives, their reputations, their fortunes, and they signed a death warrant for themselves. When they signed that Declaration of Independence, it was a death sentence for them. Had they been captured, they would have been put to death as traitors for breaking away. We declared our independence that day. Declaring it and winning it is two different things. It took George Washington to try to raise an army of shopkeepers, of farmers, of school teachers and preachers and blacksmiths to stand up against the most feared army in the world. You had everybody doing their part. Whatever it was, their part. If you were in the army, you were doing your part. If you were at home, minding the home front, you were doing your part. You had propagandists such as Thomas Paine writing Common Sense, writing The Crisis. And during the war, he wrote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered." And after 6 years of fighting, 6 years, it didn't come easy, of not giving up, we eventually won our independence at Yorktown. The British had finally, enough's enough. These guys aren't giving up. I'm hoping you're starting to make some connections spiritually. Spiritually, at one time, we were in bondage. We were overwhelmed like England overwhelmed us. We were in bondage to sin that ruled our lives. Everywhere we went, everywhere we turned, we were clamped down by being in bondage to sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2, that sin separated us from God. That was the consequences of the sin in our lives. And it's not just an Old Testament concept of Isaiah. In Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For all have sinned." It is so easy to say, to look and, "Oh, those people have sinned." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And just three chapters later in Romans 6:23, we see the consequences of that. That the wages of sin, the result of sin, is death. This was our bondage. We were under bondage in this. It's a scary situation. That all have sinned. Not those people, us people.
Amen.
Me people. And we fall short of the glory of God. And the result is the wages of that sin is death. Mm-hmm. But Jesus made us free. We talk about Patrick Henry and Paul Revere and George Washington and all of that. Jesus made us free from sin. In John 8:32, Jesus is talking to a group of the scribes and Pharisees, and he tells them, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Amen.
That's what frees us, is that word of God. And you can know. Jesus was talking to a group of people that thought they knew the truth. Mm-hmm. Oh, they thought they thought they were all that in a bag of chips. He tells them, "You shall know the truth." You don't. yet. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The scripture reading that Kurt read, I want to read it again from Galatians 5, starting in verse 1. Paul wrote, "Stand fast." That's the same thing that the colonial militia leader, John Parker, told the militia at Lexington. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it begin here. Paul's telling them the same thing. Stand fast. You don't move. You don't retreat. You don't back up. You don't yield. You stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, don't abandon it. Don't retreat from it. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Amen. We've broken free from that. You stand fast in the liberty that you have. I am so glad that Independence Day today is on a Sunday, the first day of the week, where we can make these connections. There's going to be a lot of flag flying and remembering, hopefully, of what the forefathers and the patriots did for us. I hope we make the connection what our forefathers religiously and what Jesus did for us. He goes on to say, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." You've broken away from that law. Don't return back to it. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You've lost that freedom. After you'd had it. In Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul also wrote, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That's our independence right there. He's forgiven us our trespasses, all of them. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." A few months ago, we had a lesson based on this of the things that were nailed to the cross. In addition to Jesus being nailed to the cross, he nailed the old law to the cross. He also nailed our sins to the cross, if we will allow them to stay there. They were nailed to the cross. Romans 5, here's a little bit of a lengthy passage here, starting in chapter 5, verse 20, going into chapter 6. Paul is addressing these people that they want to return to sin so they can get more grace. It's ridiculous. Paul starts out in verse 20 and says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And going into chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. Certainly not. I think the New American Standard writing says, forbid it, Almighty God. Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul is making this comparison of baptism, of us dying to ourselves, dying to our sins, being buried with him in baptism, and just like Christ rose up new, was resurrected, we are raised up to a new life. He goes on, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Leave that. Leave those sins on the cross where Jesus nailed them. And he ends up this thought, for he who has died has been freed from sin. We're not talking about a literal death. But when we put ourselves to death, to sin, to the world, why be buried in baptism if you're not willing to die to the old self?
Amen.
For he who has died has been freed from sin. We are all slaves to something. To something. When the Americans broke away from the tyranny of England, they had to create their own government. It's not like they were just going into nothing. They had to create their own government. We are all slaves to something. The word doulos, the Greek word doulos, means bond servant or slave. And look at how many different places. And this is not every single one. Paul talked about it in Romans, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and in Titus. James referred to this word about being a bondservant, a slave. The Apostle Peter used this word. We saw in John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:33, the very next verse, says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? A more ignorant statement I have never seen. These are learned people. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Does 430 years in Egypt ring a bell to the Jews? Does the Babylonian captivity come to mind? We've never been in bondage to anyone. Not only have you been in bondage, you're still in bondage to sin. In Philippians 1:13, Paul wrote this from Rome, imprisoned, to the Christians in Philippi. And he says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Yes, these guards around him, he is imprisoned, but it's not us that he's imprisoned to. It's not us that he's captive to. He's captive to Christ. He has given himself over to Christ. His chains are Jesus. We may have him in prison. That's not who he's in chains to. Paul has chosen to be in chains to Christ. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We've traded our slavery. We're not slaves to sin anymore. We are slaves. We have no choice. When you're a slave, you have no choice. When you're a bondservant, you don't have a choice. We've been set free from sin. Now we are slaves of righteousness. We're still enslaved to something. Philippians 3:20, Paul reminds the Philippians, Roman citizenship was very special. Not everybody had it. The people in Philippi had Roman citizenship. And he tells them, he reminds them, our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, there was a lot of benefits that came with being a Roman citizen. Paul called upon it quite often in trials. But he reminds the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our citizenship is. I am so proud to be an American.
Amen.
I'm a proud, I will not apologize for being a patriotic American.
Amen.
If anybody doesn't like that, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to change. I love being an American. But you know what? I love being a Christian more. I love being a Christian more. Don't return to sin. Once we have been set free, don't go back to it. Galatians 4:9, Paul wrote, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. That's the key. Being known by God. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's what happens if we return to that old life, to that old sin. And we'll end up, there's a whole lot of twos here. 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 20 and ending in 22. The Apostle Peter writes, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. When we return to sin after being set free, after being baptized with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in baptism, and we return to that, it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. That's a gross image to me. Yuck. Or a pig returning to the mire just to wallow in it. We're all slaves. We get to choose to who, though? To either sin or to God.
Amen.
Hopefully, we'll remember our Independence Day today, wave a flag, eat a hot dog, be thankful for George Washington.
Amen.
But more than that, be thankful for Jesus setting us free. Want to invite you back tonight. Dick is bringing the lesson to us tonight. I think it's called Incentives. We've had a good crowd here today. Invite you back tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, if you need to be baptized, if you have not been baptized, you have not been set free. You have not been set free. If you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sin, if you've been baptized but started going back to that old life, repent. Break away. Repent. Whatever your need, if you need help with prayers, anything we can do for you, be sure and let us know. Please let your needs be known while Josh leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.